بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم نحمدہ و نصلی علی رسول الکریم اما بعد الحمدللہ today is the 25th of April in the year 2021 and alhamdulillah we moved on to the 13th glorious day of the holy month of Ramadan and alhamdulillah we've completed half a year, the 26th week that we're going through the commentary of the glorious Surah Al-Kahf. And we've reached verse 84 of the blessed Surah. So to spend the session on this verse. So verse 84. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Verily we established his power on earth and we gave him the ways and the means to all ends. So here Allah the Almighty and Glorious is mentioning about the blessed servant Zulqarnain radiallahu anh, that he's been given authority and the means to do everything. So in the last session we mentioned who this blessed personality was, but there's a few of the things which need to be clarified. So in the work by Shaykh Muhammad Abdul Rahman Mazhari, in his work Sirajul Hidayah, Lanterns of Guidance, volume 2, page 148, he states, it is stated in Al-Bidayah, volume 2, page 106, that Dhulqarnain radiallahu anhu's name was Siqandar, and that he hailed from the progeny of Sam, the son of Nuh, alayhi salatu wasalam. His advisor was the pious believer Khidr, alayhi salatu wasalam. However, he has been confused with Siqandar of Macedonia, who was a Greek. He was an and who had an unbelieving philosopher, Aristotle, as his advisor. So, simply put, Hafiz ibn Kathir and all the references mentioned that his name was Siqandar. In English, that's called Alexander. And his lineage goes back to Sam, who was the son of Nuh. And he was dark-skinned. Sam was the dark-skinned son of Nuh, alayhi salatu wasalam. It mentions the one who was helping him was Khidr, alayhi salatu wasalam. So why is that fascinating? Because we've just been through the narrative of Khidr. So it seems to flow that Allah Ta'ala is now talking about Zulqarnain, and maybe Khidr was with him as well, alayhi salatu wasalam. Then it mentions clearly that there's been a confusion with another Siqandar, and that's Alexander. They call him Alexander the Great. However, he was not a Muslim. And his advisor was a philosopher. So therefore, this is not correct. Hafiz ibn Hajar, again the same reference, Sirajul Hidayah. Hafiz ibn Hajar Asqalani rahmatullah alayhi, he explained that Alexander of Macedonia received the title of Dhulqarnain by the likes of Imam Razi only because his kingdom was extensive and because the book of Muhammad ibn Ishaq was very popular and referred to Dhulqarnain as Alexander. So why is it that many of the earlier scholars said it's Alexander the Great? He's explaining, because the names are similar and he had an extensive kingdom. Then the Shaykh said, however, scholars such as Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, Imam ibn Abdul Barr, Zubair ibn Baqar, Hafiz ibn Hajar Asqalani and Ibn Kathir have vehemently opposed this misnomer. So huge scholars have said, no, never. This can never be accepted. If Zulqarnain radiallahu anh was not Alexander of Macedonia, then who was he? Ibn Kathir rahmatullah alayhi stated that Zulqarnain was a prophet who lived during the time of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, and he was advised by Khidr alayhi salatu wasalam. This was 2000 years before the time of Alexander of Macedonia. So he mentions that Ibn Kathir seems to favor that Zulqarnain was a prophet. And Khidr was with him, alayhi salatu wasalam, in the time of Ibrahim, alayhi salatu wasalam. So this adds a few details which I should have mentioned, i.e. in the previous narrative. Also, it mentions So this is recorded in Fath al-Bari, volume 2, page 265. Mujahid rahmatullah alayhi, he said, Abdullah ibn Amr radiyallahu anhu said, Zulqarnain was a prophet. Alayhi salatu wasalam. Abdullah ibn Amr radiyallahu anhu said, Zulqarnain was a prophet. After mentioning this report, Hafiz ibn Hajar Asqalani states, it appears from the Quran that Zulqarnain was indeed a prophet. Alayhi salatu wasalam. However, Sayyidina Ali radiyallahu anhu said, Zulqarnain was neither a prophet nor an angel, but a man who loved Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loved. This is in Fath al-Bari, volume 2, page 295. Then Ibn Hajar said, he heard this narration with an authentic chain from the book Mukhtar by Hafiz Hadith, Diyauddin Maqdasi. Nevertheless, most scholars believe Zulqarnain was a king. So why do some believe he's a prophet? Because Sahaba have said that. Abdullah ibn Amr. However, if you look at Abdullah ibn Amr's life, radiyallahu anhu, he came across a lot of books of the people of the book. In the Battle of Yarmouk, when the Romans suffered their great defeat against the Sahaba, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he got two camel loads of books of the Christians. And he started quoting from that, Abdullah ibn Amr, radiyallahu anhu. So maybe here, this is why he said that, Abdullah ibn Amr, radiyallahu anhu. Maybe he's taken from those books. Why? Because Ali, who's greater than Abdullah ibn Amr, he goes, no, he's not a prophet, he's not an angel. But he was a righteous man who Allah Ta'ala loved, and he loved Allah Ta'ala. So obviously we go through the ranks of the companions, and Amir al-Mu'mineen, obviously. And this is why Ibn Hajar said, most believe he was a king. So this is why it's important to mention which companion says what. They're all trustworthy, but they may have taken from the people of the book. Then it says, apart from Ali, Abdullah ibn Abbas also believed he was a pious king, whose deeds were praised. This is in Al-Bidayah, volume 2, page 113. This opinion was shared by Abu Huraira as well, in Al-Bidayah, radiyallahu. Ibn Kathir quoted all the hadith and he said, the most correct opinion is that Zulqarnain was a king from amongst the blessed kings. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. So the reason I mentioned that is that you get a difference of opinion. The other thing which is important to highlight, some say he's an angel. And I'll give you the reason for that in a bit, inshallah. Also, in Al-Bidayah, Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu, he said, Zulqarnain radiyallahu anhu was a righteous king. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was pleased with his deeds and praised him in his book. He was assisted with Khidr as his minister, alayhi salatu wasalam. It is mentioned that Khidr alayhi salatu wasalam was a commander of his army and held the rank of an advisor with Zulqarnain radiyallahu anhu, which corresponded to the rank of a minister for reforming the people of the day. So this adds details. So Khidr alayhi salatu wasalam was a commander of his army. But his main task was he was reforming the people. So basically the king was like basically looking after the lands, making sure peace was established. Khidr was helping him alayhi salatu wasalam in terms of educating the people. But he was a commander of his army, he mentions that clearly. Also, another very interesting report in Al-Bidayah and Ibn Asakir. Zain al-Abidin, Ali ibn Hussein ibn Ali, the grandson of Ali, and also the great-grandson of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Zain al-Abidin, rahmatullah alayhi, he said, Zulqarnain, radiyallahu, he had a special affiliation with one of the angels called Ranaqil, alayhi salatu wasalam. Thus he asked the angel, do you know of a spring on the earth called Aynul Hayat, the spring of life? Thus he described to him its location, and Zulqarnain set forth in search of it. He placed Khidr at the command, alayhi salatu wasalam, and he ended up in a valley in the dark earth. He drank from it, but he did not guide Zulqarnain to it. So let's look at this. So how can Dhulqarnayn, who the majority say he's not a prophet, have a relationship with an angel? So the response is, maybe he is a prophet, then there's no problem. But if he's not a prophet, then how has he got a relationship with an angel? Response again, through a prophet. Next question, who's Ranakil? Don't know, he's an angel. Why has he got affiliation with him? I don't know. He asked that angel, do you know of a spring on the earth called Ain al-Hayat? Now, what's interesting about that? We went through Khidr alayhi salatu wasalam's. Where did they find him? At that spring. In Bukhari, it mentions that. If you refer back to Surah 18, verse 63, we discussed this. He knows where it is. Then it says in this report, they came to the valley in the dark earth. And this refers to verse 86, which we'll get to. They were traveling there. Then the very interesting thing mentioned in the report, Khidr drank from it. But he didn't tell Dhulqarnayn. So obviously he didn't, A'udhu Billah, the prophets are sinless. But he didn't show him the location. Why? Because he didn't want him to drink, meaning he's going to live otherwise. But Khidr drank from it. So this adds another detail, and it clearly indicates Khidr's with him. You know, all these proofs, proof after proof, who's the prophet with him? It's Khidr, alayhi salatu wasalam. And in the Quranic context, it makes absolute sense because it follows on from the narrative of Khidr, alayhi salatu wasalam. Also, what else about the nobleman? So in the work by Hafiz Ibn al-Jawzi, rahmatullah alayh, in his book, The Virtues of the Blacks and the Abyssinians, page 97, he quotes reports and of the English translation. He states, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he said, Dhulqarnayn radiallahu anhu met Ibrahim al-Khalil alayhi salatu wasalam in Makkah. He greeted him and he embraced him. Subhanallah. So Dhulqarnayn met Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam in Makkah. He greeted him and he embraced him. The same reference. He heard Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was in a place. So he got off his beast of burden and walked to him. He said, indeed, I do not ride a mount within a city where Ibrahim is located. Subhanallah. Alayhi salatu wasalam. So Dhulqarnayn radiallahu anhu, the report mentions, he didn't even want to ride where Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was residing. Think about that. He didn't want to ride where Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is riding. So he thought, wherever Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is, I can't ride. It's disrespectful. So which great Imam followed the sunnah of Dhulqarnayn? Imam Malik. Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi did not ride any beast of burden in the holy city of Al-Madinah. Because how can I ride in a city where Rasulullah lays buried? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So no, the Imams don't just do things. They've always a precedent for them. And here's the precedent, Dhulqarnayn. He refused. Because if Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is in this city, I'm not riding. So it shows he was in that time as well, which I've mentioned is a view of the scholars. So why do some believe he's an angel? And again, you know, you should be very careful not to have a knee-jerk reaction. Because there's a hadith. Hafiz Suhaili in his Rawd al-Unuf 2-60, Hafiz Shawqani in Fath al-Qadir 3-48, Ibn Hisham in his Seerah, page 147 of the New English Translation. Umar radiallahu anhu heard a man saying to another, Ya Dhulqarnayn. When he heard this, he said, Oh Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, forgive us. Then he turned to the man. He goes, are you not satisfied to call yourselves by the names of prophets? Until now you call yourselves by the names of angels. Alayhi salatu wasalam. Commenting upon this, Ibn Ishaq rahmatullah alayhi said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone knows best which of it is true. If Rasulullah said this, then this is the truth. So there's another view. He's an angel. So are you going to argue with Umar? So imagine somebody called another a man Dhulqarnayn. Umar didn't like that. He goes, Subhanallah. He goes, haven't you got the names of the prophets? Isn't that enough for you? Now you turn into the angels. And this is why there's a view, Imam Malik said it's makruh to name yourself after the angels. People, you know, I don't know what they call him, their children, Jibreel, right? Mikael, anything. You know, the fact that one of the Imams has, you know, you should avoid these names. Why? Because they're angels. Obviously, we love them, but they're not from our species. And we got text. You know, no point using logic. Right? So, not again, avoid the names of the angels, not out of billah, any disrespect, because of Umar radiallahu. Examine, you got the names of the prophets. Is that enough for you? Why are you choosing names of angels? So this is a view. But like I mentioned, Ibn Kathir said, the dominant view is, he is a king. Now, if he is an angel, the previous report, angel means an angel. There's nothing wrong with that at all. Now. So no, the difference of opinion. If it was critically important, Allah Ta'ala would have told us who he was exactly. But it means that's not important for us. But the majority view is that he is a righteous king. And this is why, if you look at the verses which we'll go through, inshallah, Allah Ta'ala talks to him direct. Ya dhul qarnain, ya dhul o dhul qarnain. How can he speak to him direct? If he's a prophet, we understand. If he's an angel, we understand. But if he's a king, isn't that a proof in the Quran that he can't be a king? And the response is, he's talking through him, through a prophet, Khidr, alayhi salatu wasalam. But Allah Ta'ala is honoring him by mentioning him direct. So this is again what the scholars have mentioned here. So going to the verse. So in verse 84, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, verily we establish his power on the earth, and we gave him the ways and the means to all ends. So what does this mean? So it mentions here, Ibn Abbas, Mujahid, and many others, they recited this portion. وَآتَيْنَاهُ مِن كُلِّ شَيْءٍ سَبَبًا. And we gave him the means of everything. They all explained this means knowledge. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we gave him the means to do everything, it means we gave him the knowledge to do everything. Why? Without knowledge, what can you do? You'll cause more harm than good. That's one meaning. Qatada said, وَآتَيْنَاهُ مِن كُلِّ شَيْءٍ سَبَبًا means that from the different parts and features of the earth, we gave him the means of everything. Meaning wherever he went, he had the necessary ability to help the people. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we gave him the means of everything, it means we gave him the knowledge of everything. Now go back to Khidr. What did I mention about Khidr alayhi salatu wasalam? The hadith mentions, just to reiterate, this is in Tabari Qurtubi in his tafsir, Fath'ul Qadir. Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu, he said, Khidr alayhi salatu wasalam was a man who did all his work with the knowledge of the unseen, for he knew the unseen. So Khidr alayhi salatu wasalam, he's not operating on our level. He's operating on the unseen level. Ilmul Ghayb from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if he's helping Zulqarnain, he's got knowledge of everything. That's one way to explain it. So note, when they say, how did he have knowledge of everything? He's only a king. And the response is, who's with him? Right? If a prophet is operating with the unseen, he's going to help him with that knowledge. The other meaning is, he could do whatever he wished. He had the authority. So Hafiz Ibn Kathir, he then added something very interesting. Bilqis, the righteous queen, who was married to Suleiman eventually, alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about her, in Surah 27, verse 23, وَأُوتِيَتْ مِنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. She has been given all things. Look what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. وَأُوتِيَتْ مِنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. She, Bilqis, radiallahu anha, has been given all things. What does that mean? Ibn Kathir said, it means all things that monarchs like her are given. So whatever a king or a queen needs, she had that. Then Ibn Kathir said, this was also the case with Zulqarnain radiallahu anhu. Allah the Almighty gave him the means of all things, meaning the means and power to conquer areas, regions and countries, to defeat enemies, suppress the kings of the earth, and humiliate the people of shirk. He was given all that a man like him would need. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. So note again, and what's interesting about this, look how Allah Ta'ala uses the word kull. Kullu means everything. Kullu nafsin dha'ikatul maut. Every soul will taste death. Here Allah Ta'ala says, wa utiyat min kulli shay. She has been given all things. Does that mean everything? No. It's restricted. So why is that important? Because there's a famous hadith. Kullu bidah dalala. Every innovation in this. What does that mean? Does that mean all innovations? So again, people have got so little knowledge. They're commenting upon hadiths. Every. The Quran, Allah Ta'ala uses the word sometimes universally, sometimes he restricts it. He told Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, go to every mountain. Does he mean that he went to Ben Nevis, Kilimanjaro, right? He went to designated mountains, but the word is kulli. So here, note again, Allah Ta'ala says, وَأُوْتِيَنْ مِنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. She has been given all things. But that doesn't mean everything. It means as a queen, as a monarch, you know, subhanAllah. So here, when Allah Ta'ala says this about Khidr alayhi salatu wasalam, Zulkarnain radiallahu anhu, it means he was given the authority as a king and knowledge. SubhanAllah. So I'll recite the verse and we will conclude. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إنا مكنا له في الأرض وآتيناه من كل شيء سببا. We pray to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He makes the Quran the Rabi of our hearts. And I pray to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He forgives me for any errors which I may have inadvertently uttered. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanallahumma bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk, a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala al-mursaleen, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wal asr, innal insana lafii khusr, alladhina aamanu wa 'amilus salihat, wa tawassaw bil haqq, wa tawassaw bis sabr.